Onquist just died.
Patrice, I am not your father. Hello, welcome to the big show. We've had a fantastic pre-show here. Oh, it's been all over the place. Not least the fact that Jeffrey's taken learnt what a goblin tea's made was, and not had problems with his tea, and we've worked out that I'm not Patrice's father. Useful. Joining me to discuss the big week in tech, all the stuff that's gone on. First off, Jeffrey, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing awesome, and I am genuinely happy to be here with all of you.
So glad you can make it in the end, mate. We've pushed it back half an hour to accommodate you, so it's well worth it.
I appreciate that. You rock.
Yeah, we do that kind of stuff.
And we only started 23 minutes late, so...
Plus, it's Ellis's 18th birthday this weekend, and we've got a pool that's been installed in the back. And I pushed the show back thinking, actually, that would work really well with the pool come. But they've come half an hour later, wankers. next, Patrice, how you doing, mate?
Doing really well. It's like the storm has passed, so perfect timing. There was a storm half an hour ago, so I would have been in the middle of it.
Now, I would have thought Austria would be stinking friggin' hot right now.
It is going between stinking hot and really humid and kind of
cold.
No,
they're
cold,
the same
like
thing.
18 degrees, like 17, 18 degrees.
Yeah,
like within a day, and then it goes back to 38, 39. Like, it's crazy. That's why we have all the storms right now. Like, there's every day there's three or four.
Inland humidity. You can't. I learned a lesson. I went to the tall ships thing in Detroit down the Cadillac River. And it was 96, feels like 113.
Mm-hmm.
The humidity. Yeah, and I sat under a tree, and it was worse than it was stood in the sun.
Yes.
Awful.
Yeah. Oh, I had that experience in Alabama. Like, we visited a customer, and it was like, 92, 93, and like 80% humidity. And we were like, we were drenched.
I melt.
You can see why they have sex with their sister, can't you? Because you don't want to go out of the air conditioning.
Isn't a heat wave in parts of America where they're getting it over 50, mm-hmm. nearly 60 degrees at the moment?
Yeah.
I mean, Christ
like usually like Arizona is like one of the hottest places in the country. Yeah. Right now, that's not even true. So,
no, I mean, India's regularly over 50, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. India can be over 50.
I've
been to Death Valley when it's been 55.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a dry heat. Like an inside of an oven, as Carrie Holtzman would say.
Yeah.
They had a little pool, and I got to the room, changed, and just dived in it.
Yeah.
It is actually
and
true.
It was, like, and it was boiling.
Yeah. It was comfortable. It was nice compared to the outside temperature. A place called Stovepipe Wells.
That's the famous one, isn't it? That's the famous one.
Oh, you've been there? I've been there.
Okay.
Those places, you don't sweat. Like, 3% humidity in the air, like, you don't sweat.
Mate, really? You don't sweat in 3.3%?
No. It just evaporates. Like, your body produces sweat, but you don't notice it because it just disappears.
Yeah, no.
Right away.
Oh, that's, I mean...
It is risky.
Humidity is worse because humidity doesn't allow you to sweat.
Exactly.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You can't lose body temperature.
The big risk is that you just dehydrate.
Ben's put in the chat room, I did some training in India once. I arrived at 10 p.m. at night and it was 38 degrees centigrade and humid as well. Jeez.
Yeah, I remember my welcome when
that's
I went
to supposed to be the temperature here today, but without India humidity.
I think I remember it.
I remember it hitting you like I went to India once and you walk down the steps, got off the plane, and the heat hits you. Like you, people said, they described this to me, and I'd never really experienced it before till I got there. And it's, you smack around the head by it. Even at late at night, it was still, God's sake, it was hot.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to Detroit before and walked out of air conditioning, and even then at sort of 30, 32, and it hits you like a wave. And I remember going to the south of France, and it was 35 degrees. So we wound the windows down. It was like someone was blowing a hairdryer in your face.
Makes no difference, does it? No. You wind the windows down, it makes no difference at all.
No. Ian, how are you doing, mate?
I'm doing well. I'm spending my week teaching this week. It's fun. It's good fun. It's good fun. People from all around the world, which is always interesting. I love talking to people from all around the place.
The language issues.
Oh, my language issues isn't so much. It's the poor devils. I mean, it's generally speaking, most people I'm dealing with, English isn't their first language. But in IT, English does seem to be the lingua franca that goes across everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People tend not to translate, so it's always... they learn enough English because they've got to deal with it, and that's fine. I have no worries with that. But then coupled with, we got some new lab materials issued, and it hasn't been very well spell checked by the Americans.
Oh dear.
And it hasn't been very well run through to test. It makes sense, and it, and the things they say to do compares to what's in the labs. And so it stop, start. As people went, but it says this, and they don't have the, because English isn't your first language, you don't kind of skim past it and just carry on. You'll stop and make sense. And then you're, and you kind of grind to a halt. I imagine I'd be the same if I was trying to read something in French or German or Afrikaans, it'd be the same thing. It just wouldn't make any sense. Yeah, because we've got people from Johannesburg, Qatar, and then a couple of Brits, and someone else. Where was he?
I've taught
there in must be math. In German in there.
No, German this week. We haven't usually.
I've taught in some Afrikaans, and it's not some poor
Afrikaans.
No, Tom in the chat room is saying his risk is bigger than everyone else's risk because it's death in Mars. Mm-hmm. So. Of course, it's American. Of course, it'd be bigger risk than everywhere else.
Totally.
Surely Aussies are. Surely Aussies
death. It's bigly death.
But surely, when you get down upside down and go to Australia, surely that gets even worse when you're out in. Once you get out of the big cities and you get into the big desert.
Yeah, you're delirious, and there's a million things within 100 yards that will kill you.
Will kill you, yeah. Exactly. Everything can kill you in Australia. Yeah. It's the most inhospitable place on earth.
Air will kill you in Australia. It's that bad. And yeah, someone who's been to Australia,
the things here will kill you.
And seen an enormous pile of termite shit. Is Muller? How you doing, mate?
Oh yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
Go on his Flickr page.
Oh, oh God, that one. That
Muller stood next to a huge pile of shit.
It was. It's not shit. It's it's kind of
regurgitated. It's termite shit. It's termite.
Could you tell the difference which was which?
Is it?
He tasted it. It was like, that's a big part. He did the Laura Dern, the Laura Dern test with the finger.
It's used in a book, actually, that photograph. Did I tell you?
What, your pile of shit?
Yeah. I got contacted. Can you use your photograph? As long as I get credit. Yeah, no worries.
You didn't get any money?
Well, I'm not professional. You
wank. Well, exactly. You're the one that's killing my bloody business.
You're not a professional because you didn't ask him for money.
Okay, well, he only wanted the one picture of a big pile of shit, apparently.
Mind you, and then there was the time termite thing.
Tom's saying, bigliest death ever. Bigliest.
Yeah, huge.
Easily the bigliest. The week in tech. Enough of you about your termite shit, mate. Moving on.
I wasn't going to talk about that.
All right, go on. What are you going to talk about?
Oh, Virgin's up my speed to half a terabyte a second.
Half a terabyte.
Well, what is it? 520
pictures of. Well, I pay for the termite shit faster.
I pay for the maximum fee. So hang on, let's do speed. This is going to be great audio, isn't it?
Awesome. And I've got a free backup sim as well to if it goes down.
I've bought your crap service for long enough. Give me now. They're still giving me 360 megabits a second in a van on the drive. 370. Read it and wait, mothers.
I got
all the big. No, shut up. We've had enough of your speech. The week in tech. All the big stories. All the big tech stories. Who's going to be first? It's going to be Jeffrey because he's always looked at his keyboard already.
I did. Boom.
Boom. There we go.
Oh, well, I put the first one in. Oh, you bastards.
Right. Here we go. Hang on. Does this work? Is everything the right way around? See, I've now changed me to now applying for a job through TikTok. There you go. Go on, Jeff.
Okay, so TikTok has just launched a new pilot program. So they're testing it right now, where if you want to apply for jobs for various companies, participating companies, then you have to make a TikTok video for your resume your CV.
So they're seriously keen on employing twats then?
Well,
it appears to be the case.
There you go. Several companies are already on board to do testing with this. TikTok is using it themselves to look for, I think it's developers for their platform, and even Shopify is using this now to find job applicants.
This is discriminatory.
Well, I think if you're trying to employ a media lobby and you want someone who knows all about social media, they'll be all over TikTok anyway, so it makes sense. If you'd employ an old fart like me, it doesn't, because I don't know what TikTok is.
Well, I'm an incredibly talented video producer, but I wouldn't put any of my stuff on TikTok because it's shit.
Or my details.
I'm seriously, right?
Okay.
No, seriously. So on Instagram, all I get now is, you know, when there's you scroll down through your Instagram followers, or the people you follow, and you do the double click for the heart and that kind of stuff, and then they show you a little strip of videos that you can watch. All I get is videos of girls doing some stupid Charleston type bouncy dance, and it's just like, why would you do that? Or it's a picture of a woman who's got a brand new dress and she's miming to something that's not her, and just like, that's
TikTok is.
No, the problem I've got is I don't want to see it, but the problem is I click on it, so then it shows me nothing else.
don't click on those anymore. That's
like the wish effect. Whenever you click on that very, very strange looking apparatus, you're not quite sure what it does. That makes
no, but it's like a plus one effect.
And then they'll show you sex toys forever.
No, I've clicked on it once, so now it shows it me constantly. I haven't clicked on any for a while, and it hasn't changed them. It's still showing me those. I look at them now and I know what it's going to show me, so I don't click it. But it still shows me the same shite.
Don't use Instagram. It's crap.
It's pretty good, actually. I quite like it.
Okay.
TikTok is great. Just not for that.
TikTok
isn't.
No, TikTok is great. I really enjoy it. There is so much really good content. And I have learned quite a bit on TikTok.
Have you seen that Tanzan? Have you seen the Tanzanian lad?
No.
Oh, the lad from Tanzania that looks at like people doing silly shit on TikTok and then it's just like he is a phenomenon, mate. He is he's the coolest kid on the internet by a long way.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's from Tanzania, but he's got people that just do the most inordinate amount of steps to complete something so simple. And he just does it on his video and then just stands there with a face like, what the?
I mean, those are there too. But there is a lot of great content on TikTok. I think the fact that it's like that it's very short and you have only a limited amount of time to convey something really like gets people's creativity going.
What was the platform that did that? And then they just kind of canned it.
Oh, the one with the green logo.
Yeah, there was like a thing that was a Vivo or no.
Green Lantern.
It lasted a very short period of time and then disappeared. But
there was like millionaires made on it.
Vine.
There we go.
Got a green logo, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Google though, wasn't it? So it got canned.
Yeah. I mean, as far as TikTok goes, I mean, I'm my social media expert, that is, i.e., my daughter. And when I talk to her about TikTok, there's masses of good stuff there.
There is. There's masses
of great content. BookTok is a favourite for the million of different books she enjoys to read. It's all manner of fun stuff you
find
in
there. There's an entire mental health area in TikTok with like professionals. There's an entire healthcare area in TikTok with like professionals talking about their stuff. Like you can learn a lot on TikTok. You just have to find it. That's the problem.
Well, but the algorithm is actually pretty good.
The algorithm is pretty.
If you can't find it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing with me and social media, the one thing I don't get is every video producer watch apologizes if their video is more than 10 seconds long. Am I old and can I cope with something more than 10 seconds long to watch?
Nope.
Well, we said this the other week.
Is this just a thing now that if you can't convey your message in 5 minutes, all the goldfish bowl children that are younger than me go, I can't pay attention that long.
We said this the other week, and Jeff agreed that he started to notice it since I said it. If you look at American crime drama or, you know, the kind of 99 or Hawaii 5-0 or The Hill or any of that kind of stuff, every scene is 2 to 3 minutes because people just cannot cope with anything longer to keep their attention. And it is. And I can't watch it anymore now because I've noticed that.
I mean, I find that
really bad in Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah.
Several of the episodes, like it felt so disjointed because they
well, were and they were hopping back and forth as well from like future to past to future to present to future.
Right. But they weren't staying in either of those settings long enough for you to feel like you were like actually in the story. It was just jumping so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like any documentary we watch. Any documentary on the commercial TV in the UK, what happens is the show starts, and I'll give you the premise. You'll see some footage of the of whoever it is explaining whatever it is and talking about that, and that'll last for maybe 10 minutes at most. Then there'll be an ad break. Then when we come back, we'll summarise what we saw before, just in case you've just tuned in, because you're an imbecile, and then they'll only show you 5 more minutes before we have another ad break, and then we'll have another summarising because we're an imbecile, and then it'll go round again.
That's Americanism.
I know. That's the trouble. Channel Four do it all the time.
Yeah, but
it drives me potty. I can cope with remembering that I saw them talking about whatever it was before the ads broke. I'm happy to continue. Start off again. Give me more information. This is quite interesting. I want to watch more.
I absolutely loathe coming next because it's like, I don't want to know what's coming next. I want the surprise. Piss off. And then the thing where they go, here's what happened last time. I know what happened last time.
I'm not stupid. Yes, I'm not stupid.
Yeah, it gets really bad when you're binging shows.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
It's like, okay, what happened last time? That was like 5 seconds ago.
I don't really know. Go on. Carry on.
I've been saving these frigging things up so I can watch them one after the other.
Actually, I've noticed on Amazon? Yeah, the Amazon player. You can skip the credits and go right to the next bit.
Yeah.
I do quite like that.
Mm-hmm. Everybody
and then you can skip the recap and you can skip the intros. Yeah. No,
yeah.
Perfect.
Every network does that now.
This is good.
Are we just a bunch of old men right there? Apart from Patrice, who's an old woman who's not old.
No, I think we established that Patrice is a young woman. Patrice, old man.
Patrice is an old man trapped in a young woman's body. There we go.
No, Patrice is our younger selves giving us the insight into what the kids think. Whereas we're old men sitting here like it. It's like the Muppet Show. What's the guys in the gallery called?
Stoutler and Waldorf.
Yeah, exactly. That's us. But it's four.
In answer to the question, what have you learned from TikTok? Ben replied, how shit it is. There we go. Ben's a grumpy old man too.
You know, I'm with Welcome, Patrice brother. On this Welcome. One. There's a lot of really good stuff on TikTok.
There is some great stuff, yeah.
My daughter tells me how good it is.
Although I don't think my resume for jobs needs to be on TikTok.
If anyone can find out tell me what the bouncy jumping dance is, then I can mute that.
That's Jesus. Called porn.
No, it's not. They do this thing where it's like skip and step and skip and step, and it's just, oh, shut up. And then they do like a little thing where they wobble their feet back and forth. That's frigging Charleston. That was 1920.
Yeah.
Get over yourself.
What's old is new, Ewan. You should know what's old is new, my friend. It's always that. And every now and then we shall watch you go round in little circles.
Grant, you're just paying for the 70s to come back.
I'm hoping for
it. He's waiting.
Looking forward to that.
Please, no.
The 90s are all right. I mean, we got the 90s back in a minute. I can cope with that. Although I'm laughing at my
70s bank. Like, especially in
70s was horrible. 5-day week, power cuts.
Three-day week.
I
had an argument with a bloke at Sharon's cricket club years ago. He went, my generation made this nation. We're great. I went, you gave us a 3-day week. The wheat of discontent. I just went through the miners' strike. I just went through everything. You frigging ruined this country. Piss off.
I made a fortune at the miners' strike.
You're not old enough. Were you there with your truncheon
on the horse?
No, you're not old enough. I was old enough. It was in the 80s, mate.
I know, but you weren't old enough. You didn't qualify early enough, did you? You didn't qualify till you were 30.
I know. I didn't say I was a policeman. I was in the government.
I was there when Julius Caesar was killed.
No, I was the one doing all the strike pay stuff and all the benefits.
Et tu, Muller. Only Patrice got that. Right to repair movement gains power in the US and Europe. Come on.
Yes, this is a good thing. So, new story. The right to repair movement is here in the UK. I mean, it's already been around for years, but I mean, it certainly makes good sense for our friends at IMM Max, and it's good sense for a lot of people around you. When you're trying to mend something, you can't get the parts. Because Murphy's, oh, I'm not sure you should have that. I mean, this surprised me when I was reading this article. John Deere, who makes tractors, don't want to give people the spare parts for their tractors to mend them. But why not?
Really? Why one? No, I want the bits. This whole right to repair movement. It was all about the tractors.
Yeah.
And then it's been co-opted by other people and organizations.
There's one guy. Rossman Group, exactly. One guy I watch his videos because he is fascinating to watch. He's a guy called Lewis Rossman in the US who repairs MacBooks. He's a twat, but he's interesting.
He does go on a bit, doesn't he?
He does.
Mate, there is a YouTube video by an American that doesn't get to the content before 3 minutes.
He takes longer than that.
Mate, there isn't a single American-made YouTube video that starts the content within 3 minutes. It's awful.
You clearly have not watched my videos. Because I intentionally
there's one American content. Video that starts with the content before 3 minutes, and good on you, Jeff.
There's also
no content. That's the problem.
Yeah. Jeff's videos are great. I've actually watched one. It's Don McAllister level of interesting.
Wow, thanks. That's saying a lot.
That's complimentary.
It's Don McAllister plus one level of interesting. So
that's complimentary in itself.
Yeah.
Jeff, the big Don.
Jeff, if you're going to get a horse's head in your bed.
That's true.
The horse's head. All I have to do is send Don a bottle of Jack Daniels.
No, John can. We can get Jack Daniels in this country now, mate. I said something else.
I'm screwed.
You're going to come out one morning and find your car on a set of bricks. That's all you got to worry about.
That's no what happens.
You know, sadly, I expect that every morning. I look out my window and check my car to make sure that it's not up on bricks.
Mate, I'm not suggesting that Liverpool's dangerous, but they only let the horses go there once a year for the Grand National. That's your taxi.
So that around Kate, she'll kill you.
Who?
Would you believe my lovely wife, as posh as she sounds, grew up and lived in Liverpool all her life until she left to go to university?
I'm not afraid of anyone. Muller's actually gone to check his taxi. Right to repair. So Biden's weighed in, hasn't he, today? And he said that he wants the FCC to draft legislation for right to repair.
Two socks. I'll just be. I need to go and grab something.
Was it your taxi? Sorry, Ian. He's got base trousers. For just a split second, it was like frigging hell. He's no pants like Jeff, but they're base trousers. We're okay. Biden's told the FCC to draft legislation on this, and it is long overdue. But I'm wondering how much corporate America will influence this and whether EU will be the ones that cause the control.
Yeah, who's going to write the legislation? It's not going to be the FCC.
Well, he's instructed them to do it.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, no, but he's instructed them to.
Yeah, but I mean, they're just going to get it from someone else.
Yeah, they're going to go to lobbyists who will write it for them.
Yep.
And
that's how it works.
And then they'll present it. Yeah, they're not going to write it themselves. Patrice is totally
they're not.
Okay. And the lobbyists will be paid for by Apple et al.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be down. I mean,
whoever has the biggest pockets.
It's always the way, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It did hit the news stories in BBC, though, didn't it? About washing machines and stuff.
Yeah, it's a broader thing than just fixing iPhones and John Deere tractors. It is a bigger thing than that. There's all manner of stuff that you can't get bits for. I mean, I struggle with, I fiddle around with watches as one of my hobbies and men's stuff. There's occasionally stuff I just can't get the bits for because I even though I've got trade accounts with some places, there's a wall between me. I'm not allowed to buy it. They won't sell it me. So hands for things and other sort of random bits, they just won't. So the only way I can get a donor part is to buy a dead watch with the bits on it and rob them and pass them along.
Ian's got a Rolex in and he sends it back to the owner. He goes, I don't recall there being a glove on the hand when I sent it through.
No, that's a special model I've got.
That's all I could get. It's a Mickey Mouse watch. What can I say?
There's a place in Birmingham that'll make the parts for you.
Oh, I'm sure there is. Birmingham's the heart of it used to be the heart of Britain's engineering. You could get all sorts of stuff.
Oh, the jewelry quarter. My mate's a dealer in the middle of the jewelry quarter. Steve Quant's jewelry. He does bespoke jewelry. And there's an offer code for BTN. Just mention BTN and say Ewan sent me. He'll give you a discount. He's a good lad.
He made a
ring for my wife's 50th birthday, which was three diamonds in it. It was a solid gold band with three diamonds in it, a big one, a middle one, and a little one for me, Ellis, and Bryony. And it was cool. Very and nice. And he's brilliant. He's really, really good. But he'll do custom makes for if you actually. I should give you his details, Ian, because he'll have some connections in the trade that'll help you out.
Yeah, probably would do, actually. That's true. Because yeah, it's odd times where I
work as well.
There's some brilliant guys in Birmingham. There's one guy, a YouTuber called the Naked Watchmaker, just because he didn't have any gloves during the COVID when he started doing it. So his fingers were naked because we tend to wear like little finger cots or whatever to stop putting fingerprints on it. And he's a Brummy. He does some really, really good stuff. Really good videos where you see him take a what looks complete trash. You think that's no way he's going to make that look like new.
Can you get me a couple of links for a Raymond Vale dress watch?
Probably.
Okay, because that
probably
Steve,
I'm
Steve's got my Raymond Vale dress watch, and I need two links in it. So
I can look and see whether the place I get my stuff from sells them.
Okay, brilliant.
Right, if I mean,
I'll
you can't
you in
can
touch
get
with him after this. Got you some work,
this weekend, this
yeah. Well, commission. To be fair, if he's got the same contacts I have, yeah. To be fair, if he's got the same links I have, he can probably get them from cousins like I can.
Well, he might have some links that you haven't got, and vice versa.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Put me in touch, mate. Be helpful.
Excellent. No, I mean, right to reply, not right to reply. Jesus, right to repair has got to get some traction because it drives me mental. I'm a bit less bothered about it when it comes to phones because. You know, if China gets hold of it, it does do a worse job. And as long as you know it's a worse job, as long as you know it's an off-brand replacement, that's fair enough. When you're going down to tractors, though, I'm sorry, internal combustion engines is
yeah
fundamental, isn't it? I mean, it's low-tech.
Mm-hmm. That's my problem.
It's all about green, though, isn't it? I mean, if you take this to Apple and it's out of the, it's their service life, they'll try and sell you a new phone, but if it's perfectly serviceable, it should be repaired. And I'm sorry, but I can see you nodding, shaking your head. But it's all about waste. I mean, there's a lot of carbon in there, and if they're not being repaired, it's a waste.
But I mean, that's simply not true. Apple does repair.
It is simply true.
Apple.
Hang on.
Apple,
let me reply, Steve.
Apple does repair, like. Everything they will, I mean, they might charge you for it if it's like older than X years, but they will repair it. Apple never pushes you a phone. Like, if you get that at an Apple store, talk to the manager because that's not how they work.
Yeah, but you haven't watched
honestly, if you look at the lifetime of like especially iPhones, they're pretty long. I mean, they're 6-7 years. I agree that like it should be repaired 10 years, 15 years for sure, but. You can't just say, well,
you would also say generally it is. I mean, if you're saying that there's an iPhone 12 and an iPhone 12 where the guy swapped the screens over and one screen wouldn't work with the other screen.
Yeah, that's stupid.
That's wrong. Mm. Yeah, but if you're saying that iPhone 12, in another 3 years, there will be a set of replacements that are available off-brand that will repair it. Yeah. I don't have a problem with 3 years from now you can get off-brand stuff. I feel all right for Apple that they can say, right, I'm sorry, you can't repair this. You know, we should repair this for 3 years. But after that, then I'm sorry, it has to go to and it's not looking like it will be. They want to constrict it even further than that.
Yeah, and I mean, 2 years of that, it's under warranty.
I'd even be okay with companies, in this case, since we're using Apple as the example, with Apple saying, yeah, it's out of warranty. We are the only company that makes the parts that actually work. So you're going to have to buy them from us.
Yeah.
But you can still buy them.
I'd be happy with that. But yeah. I can't change the battery in my car. If I want to change the battery in my car, I've got to take it back to Ford because they'll put the battery in and then they have to tell the onboard computer that's a new battery.
But I mean,
that's ridiculous.
That's stupid.
I mean, the old days, you used to be able to buy a new battery, you chopped it in yourself. I mean,
a power cell.
Well, it's, in the old days, the car didn't have 12 computers in it.
Yeah, it's what we were talking about the other day when we were talking about the chip manufacturers, that our cars will be getting harder and harder to fix because there's so much more tech in them now than there was. It's not an internal combustion engine, a thing to make a spark, and some little bits to allow, and some cables and some wires that make the speedos go
and
around.
And a crank.
Oh, you don't even need, never mind crank. But some electricity.
And a bloke with a red flag and walks in front.
Of it. But no. I mean, even if we go back to the, to my Helsicon lovely days of the 80s
this
and 90s.
This is Yorkshire.
Oh, hi, lad. But we go back to those lovely 80s and 90s, even when the car was a much simpler beastie. I mean, let's have electronic fuel injection. Yeah, that's lovely. But I don't need a computer to tell me how far back I need to reverse. I definitely don't want it to tell me which lane I need to be in, because that can fuck right off. You know, I just don't need.
I mean, I'm honestly...
Welcome to this week in Group Grumpy Old Men. I hope you're enjoying the show.
My name's Ian Grant. I'm here all week.
Honestly, I think in the discussion, about right to repair, there are kind of two parts. Right to repair for like a consumer, or the ability for a consumer to go to an independent shop. I think those are two different things. Do you want to be able to repair your phone? That might be a little, or your really complicated car. That might be a little bit difficult. But would you be able, would it be okay for you to go to an independent shop somewhere that repairs it for you, that has access to the right tools and has access to the parts? That's a separate thing.
I replaced the screen on an iPhone 4S, and at the end of it, I followed the video forwards on YouTube on how to do it. So I did it, and then I was slowly pulling it backwards to put it back together.
Yeah.
And then I got to the end. I was like, yep, there you go. That works. Brilliant. Superb. And I looked on the desk and there was a little tiny gold triangle.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And to this day, I don't know what it did. But it never stopped the phone working, the fact that it wasn't in there.
Yeah.
Well, what about the days you could just change the battery out by just flipping a catch on the back, taking the battery out, putting another one in?
Honestly, that was crap. Yeah. I hated that. I hated it.
Why?
Because you didn't have to... You could take 3 or 4 batteries on a holiday with you, and you didn't have to worry about charging.
Yes,
well,
I never did.
Yes,
completely.
No, I never
did. Have a spare battery around. It's great.
I have a spare battery today, and I don't need it in my phone.
You've got an external charging pack now. Well, the technology's moved on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I prefer this.
Moved way on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, if the battery's died in this, it's slowly dying. But I could, in the old days, I could have just took the battery out, put another one in, and then.
You still can. Take it to iMinMax. They'll charge you 50 quid. You'll have a new battery and you're away.
Yeah, I know that, but I've got to take it to iMinMax. I could have done it yourself before. I could have just took the battery.
I mean, technically, you can.
I have to say, I'm with Steve. I like to be able to. I mean, it's like my laptop. I want to be able to change the battery. My laptop,
I could have had a shit
spare
battery. I could have got a brand new battery, changed it myself, and then I'd still have a shit battery.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I cocked it up.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't though. They went Nokia batteries. You just plugged them in, and you could charge the other one while you were still using your phone. Yeah. It's gone backwards technology.
No, you know. What was the last time you made your own butter?
For all the years that I spent going to conferences, covering all these events, hanging out with all these other journalists, and everyone was like, "Well, you got to make sure we have charge on our whatever devices." I never ever met anyone that carried an extra battery for their cell phone.
Because you can't take the bloody thing out.
No, this is back in the days before iPhones. No one carried a spare battery.
Hair dryer. Oh, I'll just melt the glue. No, I'll melt the glue with a sponge.
I had a Sony Ericsson T61, and I carried 2 batteries for that.
Yeah, because it was probably shit.
Yeah, my Nokia battery lasted a week. I still had a spare one in my bag in case I needed it.
Yeah.
Back in the days of the 6310.
If you go back to that's exactly my point. The 6310 that would last a week comfortably.
Charge it once a week. I mean, that was.
I only bought an extra battery because I forgot my charger. Mm-hmm. And I was away for an entire week.
Yeah, good point. Now, as I said, technology moves on. Like, what was the last time you made
talking
your own
to moving
butter?
on? GitHub Copilot, tell us about it.
So GitHub has released a new AI feature that supposedly helps you like develop your code. You can basically tell the AI what you want to code, and then it writes the code for you. And how GitHub did that is they basically took every bit of code, private or public, on GitHub and fed it into an AI. So far, I mean, I'm not too sure we need that.
How do you tell the AI what you want, though? What's the language to tell the AI what you want? That's the key part, surely.
There's a language defined where you write down like in more or less normal words like what you wanted to do. There's a problem with this.
Yeah,
because GitHub used existing code. I mean, one, it is using proprietary code that should not be public, and the AI also read all the credentials to like third-party services that are in the code of people. So now you can go in, and someone did that, and you can write, I don't know, credentials for AWS, and it finds real working credentials.
Have you ever seen The Man Who Could Work Miracles?
No.
It's a fantastic film. It's made in the 1940s. And the bloke just looks at a lamp and he said, what about if you could work miracles? And someone says, what do you mean? He says, so I could look over there and go, here you lamp, turn upside down. And it turned upside down. Because he's been imbued with the power to work miracles. And that's the problem that there's always been with common people making computer programs. At no point is the language that they need, here you lamp, turn upside down. And that's the trouble.
Could do it.
Yeah.
That's the trouble. Alexa, write a program that does the following.
I don't have the headphones on.
In this case, it might even be developers. It might not be normal people. But, like, I mean, there's an example in the article where, like, someone wrote, like, API key and said, this is sending email with SendGrid. And he found, like I said, a lot of API keys for SendGrid. So
wow. That's really big issue for
GitHub.
That's a big naughty.
Yeah. I mean, it generally is already a problem that GitHub just used, like, unauthorized, used the code of that someone else.
Well, yeah, that was.
I'm not even sure that's legal. I mean, I'm not sure about the terms of service. Maybe they got the right for it, but usually, like, code is copyrighted.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, unless it's open source, but usually there's a copyright attached to it. So I'm not sure they were even allowed to do that. But yeah, this is really bad.
Completely agree.
Yeah. I'm going to lose sleep over it tonight. I really am. I'm going to cry myself to sleep.
Well, so Ben's putting a question in the chat room. So when an AI program results in a big data breach, who's going to be responsible for that?
The company who wrote the AI.
The AI, not the person who used the AI to compile the program.
Yeah, the company who created it.
Oh, geez. I'll keep my mouth shut now then. I've probably cost people millions by just saying, "Ear you lamp. Turn upside down."
Maybe. Yeah. So that was my story. There was nothing else going on.
No, it's cool. Good story.
What's the point of a lamp turning upside down?
No, it's just a part of the film. You need to watch the film. It's a great film. It's a quality film. And the guy gets to the point where his girlfriend is supposed to turn up to an event. And they said, well, the only way to do that is to stop the earth turning. So he stops the earth turning. And then everyone carries on at a million miles an hour and it all ends badly. So.
Surely if the earth stopped turning...
I'm sorry if that's a spoiler, by the way, but the film was made in 1940. I don't feel too bad.
Inertia.
Yeah, thanks you. And you just ruined the whole thing.
You would get killed. You would die instantly.
No, it's an hour and a half long film. There's more to it than the two things that I've seen. Come on. It was British cinema. It was a Bolting Brothers thing, maybe, but it wasn't that good.
I think there's a video online on YouTube by the, is it called The Physics Girl? And she talks about if the Earth suddenly stopped on its axis, what would happen? It's horrendous.
You don't carry on. That's the point. That's the whole problem of momentum, isn't it?
Yep.
It's like you're not in the same frame of reference at that point.
Yeah, you would literally die because like you would carry on and smash into the next thing.
So,
what's the speed? 9,000 miles per hour?
Well, we're doing the
something like that.
The Earth is rotating at 18 miles a second.
Mm-hmm. So it's reckoned.
Go on, do your Monty Python.
Are you doing a flat thing here, Grant? Because if you are, that's a logical
No.
I love the fact that Grant's come on a technology show for the last 10 years and he's now going to reveal himself to be a twat.
No, no, I was just going for the Monty Python song.
Oh, right, okay. Jolly good. Close shave there, mate. Close shave.
I'm just going for the Monty. Anyone says that, so it's reckoned. The sun that is the source of all our power. And then they'll go on and on, and I just love that song. I'm afraid.
Didn't get that. Sorry, mate. I feel
they've
full
updated
mate.
It in a, well, what's the name? Updated it. Have you heard the new version?
I might have done, yes. Can I might have. It was a few, well, I say new, it was a few years ago, wasn't it? Think of me, the guy who
it's
was
on,
in...
It's on the Infinite Monkey Cage. He updated yes, it. Because obviously the old one had a few inaccuracies in it.
Yeah, yeah, the numbers were a little bit out, weren't they? It was mostly numbers that made sense and made the song flow, wasn't it? I think they were kind of about right. And it kind of made the song flow.
For those three listeners who still give a shit to what we're talking about, Muller, have you got a story?
Yeah. I mean,
you can tell how little is, you can tell how little is going on in tech that we're talking about tea and about movies.
Well, no, because we usually talk shit all week anyway, so.
Well, this story's going to be talking shit as well. Good I on. Did post it first, but Vivo, a Chinese... mobile company.
Aren't they sponsoring the World Cup or the Euros at the moment?
I have no idea.
They're sponsoring the DJ at the Euros.
Are they? Well, yeah. They're planning on, well, they put a patent in to have a little miniature, what do you call it?
Drone
to come out the back of the...
That comes out of your cell phone.
Comes out your cell phone and takes photographs of you.
Oh, Christ, I can die happy
so
now.
So now you have a new way to lose your phone.
No, you keep the phone. The little thing comes out and flies out independently. It has sensors on, well, it will have sensors. It's not the actual real thing yet. It's only a patent. It's probably to stop Apple from doing it or Google or somebody, but look at it. I mean, it's total pie in the sky at the moment. Pie in the sky, get it?
I wouldn't have thought you could actually do that because a drone is a separate entity. And it coming out of a charging device, which is going to be the phone, is probably not patentable.
Well, they've put the patent in. I don't know if it's been granted.
That's patent pending. There we go. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, so it's a patent application.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an application. But it's just quite a funny thing, really. I mean, it's got, if it comes off, I think it could be interesting. I don't know if anybody would actually buy it.
Most patent applications mean you've got a lawsuit coming your way because someone's already put one in.
Well, I mean, there you go. A little phone. You can take yourself, you can send it off. You know, there's say the pyramids.
There'll be someone in the 50s going, I reckon a flying car could come out of a small portable device. Not excluding a cellular communication phone, which hasn't been invented for another 35 years.
I wonder what the battery life is on the drone. Have you got sort of
in my way of liking these things that seem like the future, I like the idea of that.
I just
the sort of thing. It's kind of like a go-go gadget go kind of item, isn't it, really? Yeah, exactly.
It's probably just got enough power on its own to propel itself out of the phone and then drop to the floor.
Yeah, that's what's happening when you see it disappear. Yeah, that's the bit when it falls on the ground.
I think you have to push it and launch it off your hand. Like a little butterfly.
Oh, that's it now. I've got the Gadget Go song stuck in my head. But God, that's a really... I do like that idea that it does it. Or it's a James Bond gadget, isn't it? Sort of thing. And now, Bond, we've got this new gadget for you. This looks like a normal phone and everything else. But inside, there's a little flying thing. It's got a camera in it. It's fantastic.
DARPA pays good money, don't they? They wanted a... I remember seeing a thing where they wanted a drone that would fly like a bird and land like a bird and look like a bird, but would be a surveillance drone. And they were willing to pay millions and millions and millions for that to happen.
Was the one called the Dragonfly that flew like a dragonfly? And actually, they did
loads,
build
mate.
It.
Because it's like
yeah, I think
space.
I've heard about that. That rings a bell.
What was the space? Was it Space One? What was the thing that Google put up where it's $10,000 or something stupid to get a suborbital flight?
Oh, yeah, they never paid out, though, did they?
Well, I mean, who's going to pay 10 grand for something that's going to cost you about 50 million to achieve?
Oh, loads of people were trying.
No,
because,
they did do it. They did do it because the things in in the Google offices, isn't it?
There was also one to get to get something to the moon. Mm. They offer $1 million to get something to the moon, because there were several teams in the UK trying.
I went to a
demonstration at the museum about it.
I mean, that's pretty common.
Did you offer to go?
You don't have to send a person, you just have to send a thing. A lot of them were sending little
things. Did you offer to go?
Inside one of them.
Okay, I'll move on because no one else could. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. They're amazing. Summer sale is on. You can get up to 75% off the services they offer, which I'd love to say that our offer code would help you with that, but it won't. If you put in BTN20 on some of their offers, you will get bugger all else, because they are up to 75%. They've got loads and loads and loads happening at the moment. Loads of stuff with WordPress, dedicated servers, and web hosting and domain names. So get yourself over to csohost.com and support them, and tell them that you're supporting British Tech and that you're glad that they support British Tech as well. So get on the socials and do thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. You've got to do that, otherwise we will lose their support. And if we lose their support, we're toast. Simple as. And also, same thing with IMN Max. Thanks at IMN Max for supporting at British Tech. These are great people. They are brilliant at heart. They've had a long association with us now, a couple of years. They will take anything with an Apple logo and fix it for you. They fixed Patrice's computer. They fixed other things for other people around the network, Ian Lewis's iPad. And here's the best thing. The best thing about good customer service is not getting it right first time. It's putting it right when it didn't go right first time. Mm-hmm. And Martin Kelly's had a problem with his iPad, sent it off to them. There was a problem with it when it came back, and they've instantly just gone, do you know what? It's not a problem. Send it back to us. We'll fix that too. No discussions about liability or any crap like that. It's just, yep, no, not a problem. That's not the state it came out. It's yours. We'll get it fixed. That's the kind of service that you want from a company. So please, please, please make sure you follow IMN Max on Twitter and give them the kudos they deserve, because they're really good partners for the network. Kyle is also still doing the news show at the moment. We are short on funds. The donations that you guys make are the things that keep that show going. Kyle gets paid $250 a month to do the show. And the Twitter or the Patreon account is down to $47 a month. That's all that we get through them. They are an awful service to us. So please do not donate through Patreon, because they're a pain in the arse. They get 10% of everything that gets donated. And also then on top of that, you've got a big fee that comes off for PayPal. And then on top of that, PayPal totally just kill the donation for no apparent reason. And you don't even know that it's gone. So the chances are you think you're donating to us and you're not. The best way to do it is go and find up a subscription for us on the show pages, $5, $10 or $20 a month to subscribe to BTN. And that keeps the show on the road, effectively. Kyle does a fantastic job. It's a great show. It lands at 9 a.m. on your breakfast table. It's the perfect tech show across the world. So please, please, please support the network and please donate, because all the money goes straight to Kyle to do that show. None of it goes anywhere else. Right. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Jeffrey.
My cool thing this week is a book. It's Isaac Asimov's Foundation, and I'm picking it because, you know, it's a classic sci-fi story, but it's also going to be a series on Apple TV Plus. So I thought that would just make a nice pick this week. And
birdsaren'treal.com.
Hmm?
Birdsaren'treal.com.
You grabbed the wrong link.
Oh, what? Who the... I asked Jeffrey, no one else. The El Muller.
What?
No, no, that's not... That is Jeffrey's link.
Oh, you have that's to click a second.
Does it do me?
You need to click... There you go.
Foundation, there we go.
Foundation, yes, classic.
Isn't it... When's the Apple TV series coming out for this?
That's a good question. It's coming out very soon.
I know they're making it,
but I don't know the date.
I bought the audio book, the trilogy, and I found it. I enjoyed reading it as a kid, but I found it very dated when I listened to it. Some of the language, some of the sexuality, and the anti-women. I was horrible. I don't know.
Mate, I'm sure changed. That'll be updated for Apple's purposes.
It's going to have to be, because if you read the book...
It will. And you're right. A lot of the perspectives that you see in Asimov and his contemporaries when they're writing sci-fi, yep. there are outdated perspectives Views. On yeah. sexuality... Yes. And well, and
race and everything else.
The entire world was then as well, but
yeah, I mean, I mean, things like Heinlein are still fantastic thing to read, but it does feel very of its time when you read it now.
Yeah, and I enjoyed them when I was a kid, but when I listened to the audiobook, absolutely, I was going like, ooh. Oh, that don't go well. That's not good these days.
I read this brilliant book about some form of transporter system that moved people around the place, and there was a story wrapped around it. And it was written in the late 40s, early 50s. The name escapes me now, but that it was a very strange thing to read in the last sort of 5 years. Again, still, even then you thought, oh, that's a bit odd. Again, women being the inferior species and all this thing, and then strange bits of kind of veiled racism. I mean, that's weird. It's weird.
It's funny, isn't it? Yeah. We
just notice it more, don't we, than we did then, because it was part of the fabric of society as it was 20, 30 years ago, not as it is now.
Well, I read them in the late 60s, early 70s, and I've got lots of his books still. I think they're still in the back room.
I haven't read Asimov. I might have to read Asimov. I haven't read one for years. They're always quite a thought-provoking thing.
Patrice, your cool thing. I can't open it, unfortunately, on the computer. So.
You can't? Okay.
No, it just goes to sign me up. No, I don't want to sign up. Thank you.
Maybe it's the wrong link. My thing is, I mean, since, as evidenced by this show, we all need therapy, I guess. there's a really cool. Totally. There is a really cool book from Oprah Winfrey. It's actually, the cool thing is, it's not Oprah Winfrey herself. She's not the main person. She's kind of using her clout and her experience to lift up a scientist, like a psychologist, a researcher, actually. To talk about trauma, to talk about like all everything that comes with it, and like PTSD and all those difficult topics that you hear about all day, every day in the media, but nobody really knows about what really is behind that. And it's a really well written book. Like she taps into her own experience, and she's very open about it, like her own traumas, her own mental health issues, her experience in the shows that she's done, like all the guests that she's had and so on. But she always uses that to support what the expert is talking about. So it's not about her. It's not about her experience or anything. He talks about a topic and he explains it really well. And then she comes in and kind of supports that.
Good.
And makes it interesting sometimes. Because like, research can be, I mean, he's really good, but research can be a little bit dry sometimes. So really good book. It's on Audible. You can probably buy it somewhere else.
Excellent. Brilliant. Thank you. Ian, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I was just trying to. Now, that subject of that reminded me of really what a really good book, and I was just going to chunk that one in as well. I'm struggling now to find
when
it.
Show's only an hour and a half long.
It's only an hour. Oh, right. Okay. Well, in my own time. I'll find it for another time. Instead, I'll go back to what I originally planned to talk about. Because I've been using it again this week, and I like to keep plugging it because it's a good bit of free software, is the wonderful OpenBoard. As I'm teaching this week, I'm spending all my week inside this bit of free software, and it's a fantastic whiteboard.
Is that what this Lego tech thing story is about?
No, that's mine.
No, oh, right, okay.
That's smaller. But no, this is a
open with amateurs.
OpenBoard.ch.
Didn't you pick this the other week?
About a month or two ago, I picked it. I'm going to re-pick it again because I still think it's cracking. I've been using it today to do my presentations and stuff. And it's just one of the easiest bits of software to do teaching with, to have things sat there and to be able to pull bits of information in and chuck a clock on the screen so you can see how long the breaks are going to be, chuck an update on the screen. And draw and talk about things and collaborate. And that's fantastic. Really good tool. Really, really good tool.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And your story, which is your pick, which is Muller, go on.
Well, it's I think it's a cool thing. It's Lego bricks that make a microscope or a telescope, and you can build it out of Lego parts. And cool. All you need is a piece of paper and a lens. That's the only non-Lego. And I thought that would be interesting for Jeff and Batwench.
It doesn't come in a kit, though, does it? That's the trouble.
Not really, no. But you buy the bits, and then you can build yourself all the instructions.
Do you get a list of parts?
It looks like it, yeah. It comes in a paper.
All I need is the lens. I could build one of these.
That's what they sell.
I fully expect a video next week.
Yeah, and then you can go and look at things. But on a total different thing as well, if you want a good audio book, I've got the complete, what's he called? I forgot his name now. The complete Sherlock Holmes, read by Stephen Fry. 70-odd hours, only one credit. So I'm going to be listening to that for about 3 months.
Cool. I've actually got a complete set of Sherlock Holmes with Basil Rathbone and that kind of stuff. Oh. Greeny gave me.
Nice.
That's classic, is that?
Yeah, I know.
But this is read by Stephen Fry, you know. Hannah Fry's dad.
Hannah Fry's dad, I had you on that. Don't you dare take credit for that. Bastard. Hannah Fry and what's her name?
That's good on
there. Oh, Rutherford and Fry. Rutherford. Hannah Fry. And he went, yeah, Stephen Fry's daughter. And he went, really? No, he's gay. It's not his daughter. My cool thing, I'd have gone mad without this thing this week. The Kärcher Pressure Washer K5.
Oh,
that's a Russia.
Kärcher Pressure Washer, you deaf bat.
You said Russia.
No, I didn't. It is the most stunning thing ever made. It is the most satisfying experience to wash down your front drive and just see the dirt flowing out of the surface of the bricks. Unbelievable. I can tell Patrice is really riveted because she's drinking a coffee. But it is... If you're like into your tools, you've got to get one of these. Anything that was still in this house is now clean because of this Kärcher pressure washer. Anything that moves is safe. Watch out though, there is a very, very high pressure thing that comes with it if you buy the right version. And I put my hand in the way of it by mistake and I've nearly taken the skin off. It's unbelievable. But oh my God! If you need a pressure washer in your life, I promise
you do. I bought a cheapy one, not a brandy one. I bought a cheapy one, and that's fantastic. Even that has enough pressure to strip part of one of my alloy wheels was flaking on. My cars are old and clamped out, and I gave it a bit of a pressure wash, and then the plates have completely come off. And so you've got to be careful when you go in near that. But God, it's a useful thing.
Don't clean motorbikes or pedal bikes with that. It'll take all the grease out, all the bits.
Yeah,
you shouldn't have loads of grease anyway. You should be putting light grease on.
Be careful.
You know what I mean. Yeah, but that literally destroys your bearings.
Be careful if your cat is sleeping in your backyard.
Be careful if what?
If your cat is sleeping in the backyard, you might clean.
Yes, yes.
Sleeping there at the moment.
No, he sleeps on our bed, and I've not taken it to bed yet. But it's close. It's really close. It's really close.
There it is. Hold on.
Wipe me in the spare room. What your cat, right? Where can we get a hold of you, Jeffrey?
How about Twitter and Instagram, Jay Gamut, both places. My YouTube channel, youtube.com/Jay Gamut.
Where Jeffrey gets to the point.
I get right to the point. Yep. Yep. And here on the big show, sometimes we actually have to move the entire start time just to accommodate me making tea.
Your tea. Absolutely.
The Mac show on Fridays, Tuesday evenings, Mac Voices Live. And actually tomorrow, is it tomorrow, Patrice, that you and I are recording In Touch with iOS together?
would be tomorrow, yeah.
Is that okay. a date?
It's a date. Yep. Mm-hmm. And we just hit 100 degrees Fahrenheit here.
Ooh. What's that in English?
What is it, 37 or 38 right in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've just posted a link to The Man Who Could Work Miracles at IMDb in 1936. It was made.
That's old.
I found the link to that book I was talking about. It's called Into the Magic Shop. It's another book along similar lines to sort of understanding mental health and understanding the way we think in it by a really clever doctor called Jim Doty. It's well worth a read and well worth a listen. It's well worth a listen. It's free on Audible. So if you want to change from that one, Patrice, and you fancy something a bit different, Into the Magic Shop. He came from nothing. He used to go to a magic shop to learn the magic tricks as he got older, and he learned from one of the people there some interesting things that he used through his life. He's a bit of a knob at times, and he confesses to being a bit of a knob at times in terms of he forgot what he should be doing and chased after money in the 80s and 90s when people were. But it's an interesting chap. Well, it was an interesting listen. I enjoyed it. Called Into the Magic Shop. It's on Amazon.
You know we've done Cool Thing, right?
Yeah, I know that. Just another Cool Thing.
Just did one more. Could have saved it for next
Patrice,
week.
Patrice, where can we help you? Something
else.
You can find me every week here on The Big Show, Fridays on The Mac Show. As Jeff just said, in touch with iOS on Friday, this week at least. Everything I'm doing you can find on thepatrice.com, all the social media links and whatnot. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to really interesting people about food and just everything that goes with that. And I can reveal the next episode will be with Kelly Gaumont. So,
ooh,
stay tuned. Really good one.
Fun.
Ian, where would you be, mate?
Me? I am here on The Big Show every week, usually. If you can't find me here, you'll find me on LinkedIn. My name's Ian Grant there. You'll find me, I'm the one that talks about Convort all the time. And otherwise, I'm in the Slack room every now and again. I do tech things, I fix people's stuff. That's my usual kind of shtick. And after that last weekend, I passed my certification to be a CFR, that's Community First Responder. So if you're ill in York cool. and you're out and you need an ambulance coming to you, there's a good chance you might see me first coming to turn you on about it, turn you off and back on again before they get
here.
Oh, so I've been trained on defib. I've been trained on the defib. I know how the defib works.
Run.
Very.
So good. Do I.
Well, luckily a defib does it by itself. So
yes, it does. I don't have to do anything. Literally, as long as I put the pants in the right place, it will say keep pumping the heart. Right, stop now. Let me give him a shock. Boom. Then, and the interesting thing about a defib, which I to be honest, it never occurred to me. It only actually works if your heart is doing something.
No,
you've got to have you've got to have electrical impulse there for it to be able to give you a bit more juice, as it were. Which is something I never realised. It was the opposite way. It was off.
No, the clue's in the title. Fibrillation is where the heart flutters. So defibrillation is where it stops it. Stops and then starts it again.
Yeah. So we are turning off back on again.
And then, yeah.
Ian, I never thought.
Reboot.
Ian, you need a recharger.
Yeah.
Or a new battery. What you could do? Well,
absolutely.
A spare battery. Mm. But then, sorry.
Have you got the Touch My Appearance up on your?
No, that's a real beard.
No. I'm thinking of the blotches on your head. You must be allergic to that beard.
That's a bit of eczema.
Oh, right. Okay. Where can we get hold of you, Muller?
Well, actually, I'm thinking of doing a GoFundMe for Jeff so we can get a Goblin Tees made. A proper
sweet.
One.
Right,
a 1960s one. The one that actually goes... See, it wakes you up 45 minutes before you actually want to get up. But at least you have a cup of tea.
Where to get hold of you, Muller?
Oh, yeah. Muller Biker on Twitter.
Thank God for that. My name is Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can also find me going back into my Apple TV and finding The Man Who Could Work Miracles. And my kids going, Jesus, Dad, this film's shit. We'll be back again next week. Mac Show tomorrow. Big Show and everything next week. And it'll all be from the Mobile Operations Center like it is tonight.
And the week after.
Really great. Oh, shut up, Muller.
Week after the bash.
The week after the bash, but you're not coming. Not everyone's coming. Coming. Only the invited can come.
Have I been invited?
Everyone in the Slack room has been invited.
Okay.
Batwinch decided that they were coming. So. have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Thanks very much for listening. Very, very much for listening. See you next week. Au revoir.
Yay.